If you suffer from allergies, chances are the change of seasons has been rather hard on you, and experts say it's only going to get worse as we make our way through the summer. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Today, our guest is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Michigan's School of Public Health. Dr. Daniel Katz is in the midst of research exploring pollen dispersal patterns and the impact on respiratory health. And thank you so much for the time, Dr. Katz.
Thanks for having me on.
Is the anecdotal evidence to this point proving true? Do you see this as becoming a particularly bad allergy season?
Well, yeah. Sometimes some years have worse allergy seasons than others. But the trend that we see over time is that allergies are getting worse for folks. And that's due to both increasing incidence of allergies and also due to climate change and how it affects plants.
Well, let's start with the first part of that comment. Why are we having more allergies?
One of the dominant ideas in the field is called the hygiene hypothesis. Basically, it's the idea that because we spend more time inside and less time outside interacting with the microorganisms that proliferate in those environments, that our immune systems just aren't very well calibrated to what's actually a threat. That means that our immune systems start attacking things, pollen grains and other benign substances. It ends up resulting in higher allergy rates and concentrations.
So there was some wisdom in my mom sending me out for first thing in the morning and not letting me back in until it was dinner time and having me play out in the mud in the fields, right?
Exactly. And in fact, we see that folks who grow up on farms and in rural areas have lower allergy incidence than people who grow up in urban areas. And in fact, we're even starting to see that folks in countries where they're starting to develop and adopt a more Western lifestyle, their allergy rates are starting to go through the roof too.
Now, you put that in the context of climate change. So how exactly is climate change impacting the allergens released into the air that ultimately we digest and take in and get sick from?
Well, there's a couple of different pathways that it works through. One of them is higher temperatures. And here in Michigan, temperatures have gone up by about a couple of degrees Fahrenheit over the last century. Now, that in turn means that we have a longer growing season. Over the last 50 years or so, our growing season has increased by about a week and a half or 2 weeks in this part of Michigan. So when we're looking into the future, we expect temperatures to rise by another maybe 2 to 5 degrees Fahrenheit over the next few decades. And that means we might have an extra 3 or 4 weeks of growing season when plants are going to be releasing pollen. When the growing season is longer, folks are just going to be exposed to pollen for a longer period of time.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking pollen allergies and the impact on our respiratory systems with Dr. Daniel Katz from the University of Michigan's School of Public Health. Let's talk about some of the other impacts. Allergic diseases are the sixth leading cause of chronic illness in the United States, at least according to the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. The Centers for Disease Control says asthma affects about 25 million people in the U.S. Can we distinguish the role that allergens are playing in that as opposed to manufactured air pollution and greenhouse gases, which we have seen improvements in?
So there's a bunch of things which determine how somebody is going to react to what's in the air. Now, one of the things that's relevant right now is ozone. We've been having high ozone days for the last couple of days here in southeast Michigan, and there's actually some evidence that higher ozone concentrations disrupt some of the pollen grains and help them to release some of the allergenic particles inside of them. So there's a little bit of an interplay in between some of these other air pollutants and pollen.
So we put all these factors together. We have an estimated 4 million days of work in school that are lost to asthma and allergies, and that is a huge economic impact. With that in mind, might this become one of the bigger public health and community impact issues as we continue to see temperatures warm?
Yeah, we do expect to see more pollen in future years as climate change continues. Now, one of the other big drivers here is increased carbon dioxide concentrations. Right now, we're at about 410 parts per million of carbon dioxide. and that is expected to maybe double by the end of this century. The reason that's important to plants is that carbon dioxide is a necessary component for photosynthesis, and so higher carbon dioxide concentrations mean more pollen is produced. And there have been a bunch of experiments done on this topic by now with things like ragweed and trees, which show that when these plants are grown in high carbon dioxide concentrations, the pollen that they produce is more allergenic, and they also produce way more of it.
If we are armed with that knowledge, and we know that this season could be bad and the years to come could be worse, are there things we can do around our houses to contend with the plant life that might help reduce our immediate exposure to these allergens?
Totally. So there's a lot of common sense things that you can do if you have allergies. One of them, of course, is to take allergy medication, but that only does a good job of controlling allergies for maybe 50% of the population. If you're not in that lucky 50%, then you can do things like spend more time inside during allergy season, make sure that your air filters are cleaned and going. But really, I think one of the areas that's really underappreciated is we may be able to reduce people's exposure to allergenic pollen in the first place. My research is all about trying to connect people's allergies to the plants that are in their neighborhood. And maybe there's a way that we could manage our urban vegetation a little bit better so we don't have as many allergenic pollen-producing plants around where we live, and therefore so we don't get exposed to so much of this stuff in the first place.
So what kind of plant life are we talking about that we may want to limit exposure to?
Well, not all plants are created equally when it comes to allergenic pollen. Some of the worst offenders are things like ragweed, and ragweed thrives in particular habitats, things like vacant lots and disturbed roadsides. So we may be able to pay special attention to those places and try and control ragweed there. When it comes to big, long-term organisms, specifically trees, again, we have some offenders which are far worse than others. So we have things like white mulberry, which releases vast amounts of pollen. So if we reduce the number of some of these trees, some of the bad trees, and replace them with some of the trees that produce less allergenic pollen, we can really reduce exposure in our communities, or at least that's what my research is beginning to show.
How much development have we had in developing protocols for treating symptoms and actual allergies? I know when I was a kid, I used to have to get allergy shots 3 times a week. By the time I was a teenager, that was down to 1 a week. And when I stopped in my late teens, ultimately, none of my allergies returned. Now, maybe I'm one of the fortunate ones, but is there a system or protocol that would allow people to overcome their allergies?
Yeah, and the thing that you talked about, allergy shots, immunotherapy is a great way for folks to deal with their allergies. It can be very effective for many people. Unfortunately, as you said, it means going to the allergist very frequently. So there have been some advances in this, and there's a lot of research continuing to be done on it. Hopefully, over the next few years, we'll continue to develop better medications for allergies and better methods for immunotherapy.
Where do we head from here? With all that you know and all of the impacts we've identified and the ongoing studies you are endeavoring, what are the next steps in addressing these issues, both immediate and long-term?
I think that one of the areas that we could do a lot better is reducing people's exposure in the first place. And this becomes especially important as we expect allergies to get worse in the future due to climate change. I think that a better understanding of how much allergenic pollen people are exposed to in their day-to-day lives is going to be really useful for us to do something to limit that exposure and therefore reduce people's symptoms. Of course, we also need to continue to work on allergy medications and immunotherapy.
Dr. Katz, I really appreciate the information. I think you've been most helpful, and I've enjoyed the conversation. I'll look forward to having another in the future.
Me too. Thanks for having me on.
That is Dr. Daniel Katz, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. He's doing his research on pollen dispersal patterns and the impact on respiratory health. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You hear it each Wednesday on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.